Welcome to Power for Victorious Living. We believe the gospel and the kingdom of God have real answers for every area of your life. Get ready to discover the answers you need and the power that can change your life. Each show, you will receive practical, biblical insight as you hear a clear, creative, and encouraging message to help you understand how the gospel has the power to help you live a victorious life. And now, here's your host, Wes Harden.
The Apostle Paul gave two big reasons why a born-again believer should still want to live a holy life even though they are forgiven of all their sins and God relates to them by grace. You won't want to miss this, so stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. We are so thankful to have you here tuning in again with us here today. Hey, listen, if you haven't done it yet, go give us that 5-star rating and review. That'll help us to reach more people and raise higher in the rankings and stuff. So we're trying to do our part here, and that could really help us if you would team up with us by help giving us that 5-star rating and review. If this has been a blessing to you, hopefully it'll be a blessing to you again today. And hey, we are continuing our Revelation of Righteousness series, and this is going to be part 8. And before we get kicked off, I kind of like a little joke that I saw the other day. I told my wife about it. I thought it was kind of funny. And so, you know, the Bible says that laughter is good medicine and stuff. And so I got a little joke for you here. So it says, when a group of tourists visited a crocodile farm, the owner of the place launched a daring proposal. And so it's got a picture of out on this water, and it's this like this floating kind of pontoon, but it's caged, and the people are on the inside, and there's crocodiles sticking their head up out of the water with their, you know, their mouths and stuff everywhere. And I mean, it's hungry hippo, it's hungry crocodile and stuff. So it says, but when a group of tourists visited a crocodile farm, the owner of the place launched a daring proposal. Whoever dares to jump, swim to shore, and survive, I will give $1 million to them. Nobody dared to move. Suddenly, a man jumped into the water and desperately swam towards the shore while he was chased by all the crocodiles. With great luck, he arrived, taking the admiration of everyone in the place. Then the owner announced, "We have a brave winner." After collecting their reward, the couple returned to the hotel, and upon arrival, the manager told him he was very brave to jump. Then the man said, "I didn't jump. Someone pushed me." His wife smiled. The moral is, behind every successful man, there's a woman who pushes him. I thought that was pretty funny. And the Bible does say that laughter is good medicine, so hopefully you got a chuckle out of that. So, hey, listen, let's go ahead and get kicked off today. So, in this episode, Revelation of Righteousness, Part 8, we're going to talk about the two answers that Paul gave for why we should still want to live holy lives, even though we are forgiven of all of our sins, past, present, and future tense sins, and God relates to us by grace. And so if you haven't listened to the previous episode, I really want to encourage you to stop. And really not just the previous episode, but go back to the very beginning and listen to give you context. These things are going to build line upon line, precept upon precept, as Isaiah chapter 58 mentions. And so, you know, you could probably follow along and get some stuff, but really to get context and for you to have an understanding, these things are building upon one another. And I really think you'd get a lot more. And if this is something, if you'll go through this and listen to it 10, 15, 20 times and go through it with your Bible, listen, stop, pause, read, pray, and ask the Holy Spirit. If you could get a hold of this, you'd be ahead of 99% of Christians because they just don't understand what happened at the new birth. And really, this is Christianity 101. And if you can understand this, your relationship with God is going to be so much richer and fuller, and you're going to have boldness to come before the Lord, and it's just going to be awesome. It really blessed me to really understand these things. And so, excuse me. So let's do a quick review of last episode. So last episode, we looked at how the Bible teaches that all of your sins, past, present, and even future tense sins, are all forgiven, all right? And that when you confess Christ and you're born again, all of your sins are forgiven. And so, like I said, that's a bold statement, and most Christians don't understand that and don't believe that, but that's Bible. And so we talked about previous episode and the other episodes before, Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 10, Romans chapter 4, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. God is not imputing your sin to you, and so, you know, you have to understand that. And so that's what Paul said, and he gave an example of David, an Old Testament figure, and David, via the Holy Spirit, looked forward. He was in the Old Covenant, which was based on your performance, looking forward to the new covenant, which was based upon your relationship via the new birth. That's how you relate to, God and come to him based upon not your performance like the Old Testament, but based upon what God did in you through Christ, through the Holy Spirit in the new birth. And so that's the difference. And like I said, we mentioned that in Hebrews, that really the whole book of Hebrews is contrasting approaching God via the Old Testament, and now we have a better covenant with better promises, and we can come boldly because we understand that the new birth and what happened there and stuff. And so really want to encourage you to go read those if that's kind of a, if that's a mouthful for you, and you think, well, how can God forgive a sin before it happens and stuff? Well, remember, Jesus died almost nearly 2,000 years ago, and none of the sins you had committed were committed yet. And so they were future tense. And so, but the blood of Jesus was shed, and then you received forgiveness. And when you receive forgiveness, that paid for all of your sins. And then God recreated a born again spirit on the inside of you, sealed that. And he sealed that perfect born again spirit on the inside of you. And now that's how you have right standing. So when you sin can get in your mind and mess up your thinking and all those stuff. And then sin and affect your soulish realm, which is the mind, will, emotions, and conscience. And then that sin can get into your body, but it cannot penetrate your born-again spirit. And so your righteous standing with God doesn't change because you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you've got a lot of questions probably that are coming up, and we're going to answer that. But I encourage you to go back and listen to the previous episodes. And so when you really understand this, we're learning that, you know, God loves us by grace. He relates to us by grace instead of by performance. And that's the good news of the gospel, okay, is that God relates to me based upon what he did through Jesus Christ inside of me. That's the good news. The good news is Jesus did what I couldn't do. See, you were a sinner not because you sinned, but because you were born that way in Adam, like we talked about in previous episodes. So it's about a new nature. See, heaven and hell are dictated by which nature you have. All of humanity was born with the fallen sin nature because of Adam's one decision at the very beginning. So then he had that fallen sin nature, and when him and Eve had kids, they passed that sin nature down to every human being throughout all of time, all the way down to me and you, and we were born with that fallen sin nature. And so everyone's born with that sin nature, but the only way to get into heaven, the only way to be saved, is you have to get a new nature, a new spirit on the inside of you via the new birth through understanding, believing, and confessing and having faith in the gospel of what Jesus did for you. So heaven and hell is determined by which nature do you have. Everybody's born with that fallen nature, but you don't have to stay that way. You can be born again. John chapter 3, Jesus said, verse 7, you must be born again. Born again how? Of the Spirit. And we talked about and explained all this, so go back to the previous episodes and that'll help you. So you're saying, Wes, you're saying that so we can just keep on sinning and whatever because God loves us no matter what because all of our sins are paid for? So here's the thing. This is the logical question that comes up when you hear the true gospel. And if this question doesn't come up when you're hearing the gospel preached, what you're hearing is not the same thing that Paul preached. Because Paul, as I mentioned, go back and listen to the previous episode before this. Paul brought the same question up and had to deal with it multiple times because it is a logical question, okay? And so he mentioned that in Romans 3:8, the same question, Romans 6:1, and Romans 6:15. So Paul had to, when he preached the true gospel, he had people that misunderstood him thinking, well, you're just giving people a license to sin because you're saying their future tense sins are forgiven. So you're just saying people, you're encouraging people to just go live in sin. He had to deal with that objection. And if you, as a preacher of the word, a teacher of the word, don't ever get that objection, you don't ever get those questions, then you're not preaching the same exact question or same exact gospel that Paul preached. So if you want to preach the same gospel, you need to find out what Paul said. And I guarantee when you preach the true gospel, you're going to get these questions. And if you don't ever get these questions, then you're not preaching the exact same thing that Paul preached. And Paul had one of the greatest revelations on salvation and the gospel, hence Romans, the book of Romans. And so if he had to deal with those misunderstandings, then so will you if you're preaching the exact same thing and you're preaching the true gospel. So remember last episode's question, all right? So we talked about this question that I just meant. So you're saying, Wes, that because all my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future tense sins, Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 10. We went through that, right? And we said in Romans 4, 8, that it says that God will not impute your sins. David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes righteousness, makes you righteous or gives you right standing with God, apart from your performance, apart from works, right? And he shall not, will not impute their sins. See, God, when you sin now, God doesn't impute your sins to you because they've been paid for. So the logical question that comes from that is, so if all my sins are paid for, then are you saying that we can just go live in sin because God relates to me by grace because Jesus paid for all my sins? All right, that's the logical question that should come up whenever you hear the gospel. And if that question doesn't come up, then what you're hearing is not the same thing that Paul preached in the Word of God. So because when Paul preached the true gospel, he had to deal with these questions, okay? Like I said, Romans 3:8, Romans 6:1, Romans 6:15. So you're thinking, well, if people are forgiven of all their sins, past, present, and even future tense sins, Wes, then can they just go live in sin? You know, are you saying that we can just keep on sinning because God loves us no matter what? Here's the thing. Paul had to deal with this question, and we're going to deal with this question and go in deep detail. And we started to at the end of the last episode, right? And so we're gonna begin to deal with that, okay? So Paul was not arguing for us to continue in sin because God loves us by grace instead of by performance. God, you know, Paul was not arguing for us to continue in sin because God loves us no matter what, right? But this is a logical question that comes up whenever you understand the true gospel, okay? So like I said, really, if this question never comes up when you hear it in the gospel preached, or if you never think that question, you're not really hearing the true gospel then. Or if you're a preacher or teacher of the word and you never get that objection or you never get that question, then what you're preaching, you're not preaching the same gospel that Paul preached, okay? So that's a big thing. So here's the thing. So Paul stated God's grace in such a way that, you know, it was inevitable that someone would say, well, so you're saying we can just keep on sinning because God loves us no matter what because Jesus paid for all of our sins. So here's the thing. Remember, Paul answered that question, and he said, certainly not. And he gave us two big reasons of why, even though God doesn't impute our sins to us because Jesus paid for all of them, he gave us two big reasons why we should still want to strive to live a holy life. Not to gain God's acceptance, because we gain God's acceptance and favor through the blood of Jesus. But we should still want to live holy lives, not to get God's acceptance, but because these two reasons that Paul gave us, right? And when we understand that, even though God's not imputing your sins to you, these should still make you want to live a holy life. Number one, sin is dumb. Sin is dumb. Like, you don't understand, like sin leads to death and sickness and disease. Like, sin messes up your relationships horizontally. Sin, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, it says that don't be deceived. You can be deceived through the deceitfulness of sin, or your heart can become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, what does that mean? When you sin, it hardens your heart. It's kind of like your hand. If you get a callus on your fingertips or your hands, you lose sensitivity. So if you're saved and then, but you got the sin in your life, it's gonna create a layer, a callousness on your heart to where now you're not going to be as sensitive to the Lord. And we're going to go deep into all that. And then you're like, well, I just seems like the Lord's far away, or that I never hear him. Well, because you're willfully living in sin. And then it's causing that your heart is waxing over. It's waxing dull, like Jesus mentioned. So then you lose the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, which means you can't hear the direction from the Lord when he speaks, which means no direction, no protection. Like if I'm accidentally headed towards a cliff and I can't, and somebody knows I'm headed towards a cliff and they're trying to tell me and yell at me, and for some reason I've got a huge amount of wax buildup in my ears, I can't hear them trying to give me direction and correction, which will lead to my protection of not falling off the cliff. So if I keep going because I have that wax buildup basically in my ears, I can't hear that. My ears have grown dull. I can't hear. So then when they're trying to speak to me and say, hey, go do this and don't do that, they're trying to protect me. And so because I don't hear that direction, there's no correction to my course of not heading towards the cliff anymore. And then that takes away my protection. Now I fall off the cliff, and then I say, well, God, you failed me. No, you just didn't hear the Lord. He was trying to, he saw the pothole. He He saw the cliff. He was trying to help you. But because you were living in sin, your heart was hardened like a callus, right? And then there was no sensitivity. You didn't hear him. And then now, boom, you fell off the cliff. You're in a bad situation. And God wants to help you. You cry for help. God will help you, but you didn't have to go there. Right, you can avoid some potholes in life. You can avoid some catastrophic things in your life if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit. Right, I've had before where God says, you know, hey Wes, don't do this or don't take this street, and then I don't take that street. Kind of find out those are wrecked that way. See what I'm saying? So it's important that even though God doesn't impute my sin to me because Jesus paid for all my sins, I still need to not want to sin because that allows me to have sensitivity to His voice, to hear Him. Right, and all these other things. And so these are some of the reasons that, hey, just because God's not imputing my sins, like He's not going to, you know, bring judgment upon me because Jesus bore my judgment, I still don't want to sin because it's dumb. See what I'm saying? So here's the thing. So Paul had some misunderstandings about his grace teaching, encouraging people to sin, and that just wasn't the case. They just misunderstood it. But if you hear the true gospel, you're going to think these exact same questions, and we've got answers for that, okay? So, and then if you preach the true gospel, you'll have these same objections and questions that you'll have to handle if you preach the gospel correctly, like it's supposed to be. So I just want to make clear, Paul was not advocating a life of sin, and neither am I. So yes, all of your sins, past, present, and future tense sins are forgiven, and God's not going to impute your sins to you, but Paul was not advocating, hey, listen, go live in sin, and neither am I, because like I said, sin is dumb. And so we're going to talk about these answers. So Paul gave us two answers for why we should still want to live holy lives, even though all of our sins are forgiven, and God relates to us by grace and not by our performance, okay? So he gave us these two big answers to answer the question of, so you're saying we can just keep on living in sin, and because we're saved by grace and God, you know, God relates to us, you know, by grace, and he, you know, it doesn't matter, you know? So here's the answers that Paul gave. Number one, we as Christians, we don't live lives of sin because we're dead to sin, right? Romans 6:2, Paul said that. He said that. Let's look at it. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Right? It says, therefore, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What is he saying? He's saying that, just like I said earlier, this sin, the real you is the spirit man on the inside of you. And it was recreated to become a brand new creature, okay? So that old sin nature that compelled you to sin, that you were born with, it's dead. It's gone. The old man is gone. And he begins to say that in Romans chapter 6. I think it's verse 6. Yeah, he says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should live, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Right? So he says that the old sin nature, because you're a spirit, soul, and body, when you get saved, that spirit man, which is the real you, right, and you go back and listen to the previous episodes in this series, the real you, the spirit being, got changed. And the old man, the spirit man, is what compelled you or drove you to sin. So now you get a new spirit on the inside of you. That sin nature that used to compel you to sin, it's gone. It's dead. So you're dead to sin. See, that old sin nature was actually dead to righteousness. It didn't want to do right things, right? So it was dead to righteousness. So now you have this new nature in you that is righteous, holy, and above reproach, Colossians 1:21. It is holy. Is truly holy and truly righteous, Ephesians 4:24, and it's sealed that way. That brand new spirit man doesn't want to do anything except for the will of God. It wants to do good. It wants to do exactly what God wants it to do. It is born and created of God, perfect and holy, a brand new spirit man. So it is dead to sin. That new spirit nature on the inside of you is dead to sin, just like the old nature was dead to righteousness. That old sin nature compelled you or drove you to want to sin. Well, then now the new nature in you actually compels you and wants you to live right. See, that's why when we get saved, sin grieves us. If you're actually born again, sin grieves you. So if somebody says, well, it's okay to live an alternative lifestyle of homosexuality or to live an adulterous lifestyle of sin, you know what? if they're really born again, it's going to grieve them, and they're not going to want to sin anymore. Because why? The real them, which is that spirit nature, changed, and that spirit man wants to live right. So if you're actually born again, it'll grieve you. Like when I got saved, I didn't want to do the things that I used to do, right? But now your mind, you can still sin because your mind, that brand new spirit nature was renewed on the inside of you. But my mind, which was programmed by the old guy, it has to be reprogrammed by the new guy, or else it'll have that wrong thinking, right? So, but we as Christians, we don't want to live lives of sin because we're dead to sin. That new nature is dead to sin, and it wants to live righteously, right? And number two, although God is not imputing our sins unto us, Satan is. See, sin is an inroad of the enemy into our lives, Romans 6:16. So that's the second reason. So now let's look closely at the reason number one. All right, so we as Christians, we don't live lives of sin because we're dead to sin. In Romans 6, verses 1 through 14, Paul is talking about this very topic, and I just read it. He says, so you're saying, shall we continue in sin? He says, God forbid, certainly not. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Well, here's the thing. Just like I explained, that old sin nature is gone, right? And now this new nature, it wants to be righteous, because God recreated a perfect righteous spirit on the inside of you via the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. He saved us through his mercy. He saved us through the washing, through the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. He recreated a perfect spirit man on the inside of you, and then he sealed it. That spirit man is just as perfect as the day you got saved. So when you sin, it doesn't change. You'll grieve because that spirit man's like, oh, I don't, uh-uh. And so you'll be grieved on the inside of you. But you know what? Your spirit man doesn't have any, it didn't change. That sin did not penetrate the seal that sealed that perfect man when you got saved. See, the Holy Spirit sealed you for the day of redemption. And when you sin, that sin doesn't get into your born-again spirit. All right? You feel grieved. That sin will grieve you, right? But that sin doesn't get into your born-again spirit. Now, we're going to talk about it. That sin can get into your mind and cause death and destruction. It doesn't affect your born-again spirit, but it will definitely affect your mind. It'll bring depression and anxiety and all kinds of stuff. Satan can bring death and destruction, as we're going to talk about, into your mind, and then it can bring it into your body, but it doesn't get into your spirit, man, right? So, but through Jesus Christ, we have become dead to sin because we got that new nature, okay? Let me give you an example. Like, and I've used it multiple times, but it's a great example. We have a donkey, and we're going to take that donkey to the Kentucky Derby, and we're going to run the Kentucky Derby with all the thoroughbreds. So I train that donkey like a thoroughbred. I feed him like a thoroughbred. You know, I even try to dress him up like a thoroughbred. When the gate opens, what is that donkey going to act like? What is he going to run like? He's going to run like a donkey. Why? Because that is his nature. His nature compels him to act and run like a donkey. Why? Because that's what he was born. So the only way for him to be reborn as a thoroughbred and act like a thoroughbred is he has to be reborn as a thoroughbred. If he's reborn as a thoroughbred, then when that gate opens, you know what he's going to act like? A thoroughbred, because he was born that way. He has a new nature. He's no longer a donkey. He's reborn as a thoroughbred. So now his nature is his. When he runs, his gait is like gait, meaning like the way that they run their legs and stuff, like a horse's gait. It's gonna resemble a thoroughbred. Why? Because he is a thoroughbred, right? His mannerisms are gonna reflect a thoroughbred because that's what he was reborn as. Why? Because he has a new nature. So when you get saved, the old man is gone, and you're actually dead to sin, and you want to live unto righteousness. Okay, so when you understand, that's the first big reason that Paul said. He says, how can we who are dead to sin live any longer? He says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? How can a dead man can't sin? All right, so that old sin nature is dead. How can a dead man sin? You have a new nature, and that new nature wants to walk in the newness of life, like he mentions there in Romans 6. But you're saying, wait, Wes. If we're dead to sin, how can it be that if we're dead to sin, you know, observation says that, hey, we're very capable of sinning even after we get saved? Well, here's the answer. This is talking about your born-again spirit. See, your spirit man cannot sin, as we're going to talk about. But Your body, the thinking, if you're dominated by a carnal mind that was programmed by the old man, and you're dominated by your thinking, your old carnal thinking, instead of letting the new man yield to him, yield to that new man in you, and let him, you know, do his thing, basically, you can still live in sin because you're living by that old carnal thinking that was programmed by the old sin nature. And now if you can get your mind renewed to the new man on the inside of you, then you'll be walking in life and peace and all those things. And that's what he's talking about in Romans chapter 8. Okay. So, but this is talking about your spirit man. See, our born again spirits are totally new and they're dead to sin, right? But our bodies and our soul, because remember, we are a three-part being. You are a spirit, you have a mind, will, and emotions, a soul, and you live in a body. So our physical bodies and our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and our conscience are still capable of sin, but in our spirits, we are identical to Jesus. Your born-again spirit is identical to Jesus. And you said, wait, that sounds like heresy. No, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And it says this. See, your born-again spirit is just identical. It's identical to Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, Jesus, so are we in this world. Well, let's think about it. Remember I said you're a three-part being. So let's just kind of rule out a couple things. Well, obviously, you're not always like Jesus in your thought life, so that's not the soul. You're not always like Jesus in your body, your actions. So what is it saying that you're identically like Jesus? Your spirit man. Because your spirit man was recreated in true righteousness and true holiness. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that he became sin who knew no sin. Jesus became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus, right? So you actually, your born-again spirit is just as righteous and just as holy as God. It's just as righteous and just as holy as Jesus. Why? How? Because that's what God did in you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus. Well, my body, you're going to get a new body when you get to heaven. You're going to get a new mind when you get to heaven, right? Because that's kind of part of the physical part of you, the nature part of you. So, but your spirit is brand new. When you get to heaven, there's nowhere in the New Testament that says when you get to heaven, you're getting a new spirit. See, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 says, to the spirits of men made perfect, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. If you've listened to the previous episodes, you understand it was your spirit that was made perfect. Okay, so this is talking about your born again spirit, that it is perfect. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says that he who is joined to the Lord is one with him. So in the spirit, when God recreates your born again spirit, your spirit, it was merged with the spirit of God. So it's just that can't happen if your spirit is any less righteous than God. Think about that for a second. So your born-again spirit is just as righteous, just as holy as God, and then it's sealed that way by the Holy Spirit. So when you mess up, that sin doesn't get into your spirit, but that sin can get into your mind and into your body, as we're going to talk about. So our new spirits were created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24. And then they were sealed that way, Ephesians 1:13. Okay, go look up these scripture references. When you do this, you're gonna get excited about the new covenant and the new birth and what God. It's gonna blow your socks off when you understand really what happened at salvation, because now you're gonna be so confident to come before God, and you're actually, instead of you being consumed with your mess ups when you do mess up, you're gonna come boldly into the throne room of God because, Lord, thank you. I'm righteous not because I do anything righteous, but because of the new birth and you made me righteous, and then you just start agreeing with that. I gave my testimony of how I overcome, you know, some bad habits of pornography and other things like that. And any bad habit, that's how God told me, you start agreeing with my word. I say you are the righteousness of God because that's what happened when you got saved. But your mind's the problem. Your mind still has the residue or the remains of the old sin nature, the old man. See, the old sin nature, the old spirit man's gone, but your mind was programmed by the world, the devil, and by that old sin nature. So now you've got a new sin nature, or you've got a new nature on the inside of you, but that mind has to be reprogrammed to think in line with the new man. And if you can get your mind to think in line with the new man, your actions are going to follow suit and be righteous and holy. But you first got to understand that when you got saved, God recreated a born-again spirit on the inside of you. Man, that's powerful. So here's the thing. 1 John 3:9 says, "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." So here's the thing. You're born again spirit. See, you can sin in your actions with your body. You can sin with your thought life, your soulish realm. You can have wrong thoughts. But your born again spirit cannot sin. That's the only way that scripture makes sense. Because we obviously know through observation, and even in the, you know, it talking about even in the from scripture, that people can still sin after they get saved. But the problem is, that's in their soul, their mind, will, emotions, and their conscience, and that's also in their bodies. But their spirit man cannot sin. And if they could become more inside minded of what happened at the new birth and begin to agree with that, then their actions and their mind can begin to follow suit. You see, since you're a three-part being, your spirit, when it gets regenerated, it wants to do nothing but the will of God. Well, your mind, think about if you have your three fingers. You have your index pointer finger is your spirit. Then your middle finger there would be your mind. And then your ring finger would be your body. Well, your spirit gets born again. Then think about that middle finger there, which is your mind. If it can get in agreement with your pointer finger, your spirit, if you can get the mind renewed and agreed with who you are in your born-again spirit, then that's two against one. The body, that's the mind and the mind and the spirit in agreement. And then that, you know what's going to happen? Then eventually that body is going to, it's going to come into agreement because it's two against one. So the body's really just kind of neutral. Right? So the mind, the Christian walk is all about getting your mind renewed to the Word of God and to what happened when you got saved. And if you can do that, the body's just going to follow suit. See what I'm saying? So because you can sin in your actions, you can sin in your mind, but you can't sin in your born again spirit. Your spirit, man, it says that. It says, "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." Well, obviously, we know you can still sin in your actions, in your body, and in your mind. You can think wrong thoughts. You can do wrong actions. So what's he talking about? And he cannot sin because he's been born of God. He's talking about your born-again spirit. Your born-again spirit doesn't want to do anything except the will of God. Okay? See, here's the thing. The real you changed and doesn't want to sin. Like I was fishing a little while back with a buddy of mine, and he was telling me his testimony, and it was like mine, where when I got saved, my desires changed. Why? Because the real me, that spirit nature, changed. And so now I still had the thoughts of my mind had to be renewed, but the real me changed, and my desires changed, right? So if somebody's saved, you're really going to want to purify yourself. And that's what 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says. It says, "And everyone who has this hope of salvation in him, Jesus, purifies himself just as he is pure." See, and it's not that you're perfect. See, your right standing comes from what God did in you in the new birth. God relates to you based upon the perfect spirit that he recreated in you. But because you have that new nature, you want to purify yourself. You want to do the right things. Doesn't mean you always do it, but that your desire changes. So for those people that think that it's okay to live an immoral life and to live a homosexual life or to live these other things, and think that that's okay, and that you actually condone it and you approve of it, that tells me you're not saved. Because the real nature, when I got saved, even though I may have struggled with stuff, the real me changed and my desires changed. I didn't want to do the old things. I didn't want to go drinking. I didn't want to go partying and stuff and hanging out with them. I didn't want to do drugs. I didn't want to do those things. Why? Because the real me changed. So I'm saying, so that desire changed. So really, if somebody is condoning wrong things and saying, "Hey, it is okay to sin," to me, I would say they're not saved, because the real nature in you, when it gets changed, your desires change, and you want to, not that you always do it perfectly, but your desire is like, "Hey, I want to do the things of God. I want to live right." Why? Because the real you changed. So I'm saying, so anybody that says, "Well, hey, it's okay to do this, and it's okay to do that," See, Paul didn't tell people, hey, it's okay to do that. He said, listen, all of your sins are forgiven. So if you mess up, hey, no big deal, because all of your sins are forgiven. But he's talking to people that are genuinely saved and born again, because he knows that the inside of them has been, the real them has been changed, and their desires changed. And so now if they can just get righteousness conscious, they'll start actually walking in more righteousness by accident than they would on purpose, right? So if you're actually saved, you want to live right. So if you are, you know, if you are, you know, thinking that it's okay to live, you know, like some people think it's okay to live a homosexual lifestyle, and they're saved, you're not saved if you're condoning that. And you may not like that, and the world may not like that, but biblically speaking, because if you actually were saved, you would have the love of God says in Romans that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Because here's the thing, if you truly love somebody, you want to do what they say. So when I fell in love with God, see, I had religion, I heard religion, and grew up in religion, that constantly just said, don't do these things. But when I fell in love with God, because I understood how much he loved me and what he did for me, that he does love me no matter what, I wanted to begin to do the things. My nature on the inside of me changed. My desires changed. But also, because I loved him, I wanted to do what he said. Like my wife, because I love her, I want to do the things that she needs me to do. See what I'm saying? If I didn't love her, I wouldn't take care of her. I wouldn't do the things that I need to do. But because I do love her, I will do the things that she asked me to do, because I do love her. So for you to say that you love God and yet you don't do the things that he says, well, then really that tells me you either, you know, you don't have a new spirit on the inside of you, you don't have a new nature, you really weren't born again, or you just been taught wrong. And secretly, you know that when you do those things, it grieves you. And that's why you struggle with depression. You struggle with all these wrong thoughts and stuff. Why? Because you are born again, but because of wrong teaching, people saying, well, it's okay. No, like, and you know that when you do those things, you feel that grief on the inside of you. Well, that would be the new birth grieving you on the inside. And you're just like, you know what, man, I am changed. Before I got saved, you know, I would enjoy doing those wrong activities and stuff. But now when I do it, it's something, it grieves me. Well, that's the Holy Spirit in you telling you, hey, listen, hey, this is not good for you. This is actually destroying you, because anytime God is trying to correct you or do something, he's doing it for your benefit. Remember I said no correction, no direction, no protection, right? So if you won't listen to God and his voice and his word, then when you end up walking off a cliff, you can't get mad at God, because he was trying to help you and protect you. He's a good dad. He's a good father. He's trying to help you, okay? So here's the thing, though. Remember, we're answering the question, can we just keep on sinning since we're saved by grace and God loves us no matter what? So the first reason was, we as Christians don't live lives of sin because we're dead to sin, and we explained that. So the second reason, the second big reason that Paul gave of why even though we're forgiven and God relates to us by grace and loves us no matter what, because all of our sins are paid for, the second reason is, although God is not imputing our sins to us, Satan is. See, God, because Jesus paid for your sins, God is not imputing your sins and bringing, you know, judgment on you when you sin, because he brought that judgment on Jesus. The chastisement, Isaiah 53:5, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You have peace with God now because Jesus paid for the judgment, the penalty, right, for that. He was the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation. But, so even though God's not imputing your sins to you because you're forgiven of all your sins, Satan will impute or credit to your account. He will bring death, sickness, destruction to you. You see, sin is an inroad of the enemy into our lives, okay? And let's talk about this. Romans 6:16, it says, and this is, remember, we're in the same chapter where Paul is talking about the two big reasons. He chapter 4, he says, God, if you're saved, he will not impute your sins unto you, right? And then he starts answering a question saying, you know, well, you know, people are started saying, well, because we're forgiven of all of our sins, then, you know, are you saying we can just keep on sinning? Well, number one reason why we don't sin is we're dead to sin. Number two, this is a big reason why you don't want to sin. You do not want to sin after getting saved, and this is why. Because Satan has an inroad, an open door to come bring death, sickness, disease to your life, and we're going to verify this. Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? whether of sin leading to death or of obedience unto righteousness. Here's a key, write this down. If we yield to sin willfully, we also submit ourselves to Satan, the author of that sin. Think about this. Let's just look at that. It says, do you not know? Paul says, listen, why would you want to sin after getting saved? Because don't you know that whom, or the devil, you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one, slaves, the devil, whom you obey. In other words, if you are choosing to willfully choose to walk in sin after getting saved, you are giving Satan an open shot to bring death, sickness, disease, destruction into your life, right? And here's the thing, let's, because all of your sins were judged and paid for at the cross. So God doesn't bring judgment on his children, right? And you say, well, so, oh, Romans 4:8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not or will not impute sin. So God, when you sin, God doesn't bring judgment on you because all of your sins are paid for, but Satan will. And that's what Paul was saying. Satan will bring death, sickness, and disease into your life. So here's the thing. Christians don't live holy in order to avoid God's judgment, but so that their enemy, the devil, won't have access to them. Man, that's powerful. Man, that's powerful. Let's look at it. And this will explain why. Romans chapter 5, which is in the same book we're in, right before this, we talked about Romans chapter 4, where God will not impute your sins unto you because we're in the new covenant because your sins are paid for. Romans 6:16, Paul's telling, listen, the reason why you don't want to sin, even though all your sins are paid for, is because you're giving Satan an inroad, an entryway to bring sickness, death, and disease into your life. Chapter 5 is in between this in verse 12, and this is what he says, and he's talking about Adam. Romans 5:12. He says, therefore, and he's talking about Adam, okay? So when Adam sinned, death came into the world because of his decision, right? So remember, God made the world. He made it perfect. There was no sin, no death, no disease, no poverty, none of those things until Adam sinned. And then when Adam sinned, that gave Satan legal right to bring sickness, death, disease, destruction into the earth realm. That is what this is saying. So let's read it. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin, Adam, it says sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay, notice it said death entered in through sin. See, Hebrews chapter 2, it says that it says death and then it mentions Satan. See, Satan has the power of death. He has the ability to bring death, sickness, disease. So if you're a Christian, you don't want to sin because then you're giving him an open shot to bring sickness on you, to bring disease on you, to bring poverty on you, to bring everything from the curse onto you. Okay? So notice it says that death entered in like a doorway. It was able to come into the world through sin. Sin is the door that allows death to come in. So when you sin, your sin is the doorway that allows Satan to bring his death, sickness, disease, and destruction into your life. So Paul was telling us Christians that we should still seek to live holy lives, but for different reasons. You see, Paul gave us the second reason for holiness in our lives. And it's because when we sin, we yield ourselves to Satan. And that sin allows Satan to bring death into our lives through that sin. Think about this, Amos 3:3 in the Old Testament. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Well, when you willfully sin, you're now making Satan willfully. You're choosing to say, I give you authority over me, and now you're in agreement with him, which now gives him legal right, a doorway to bring death, poverty, disease into your life. Because you can't resist somebody you're in agreement with. Remember, Peter says that you need to resist the devil and he'll flee. Well, if you're willfully in agreement with him, he's the father of lies. He's the father of death. He's the father of sin. He's the author of sin. Well, when you're in agreement with him, guess what? You're in agreement. So he can bring death, sickness, and disease into your life because you're not resisting him. You're actually in agreement with him. So your sin becomes a doorway for him to bring that into your life. So Paul was saying, hey, dummies, yeah, you're forgiven of all your sins and God loves you no matter what. But number one, you're dead to sin. If you're really born again, you're not going to want to. Not that you might not struggle to get your mind renewed. And as you get your mind renewed and sanctified, then those things won't happen in your life as much. But also number two, Satan, you're going to give him an open shot to come bring death, sickness, disease, poverty into your life. Why would you do that? Like, you're smarter than that. And that's one, these are the reasons why Paul said, yeah, you know what? God relates to you by grace. He loves you no matter what, because all your sins are paid for, all your sins are forgiven. But here, you still want to live righteous and holy because there's peace, there's joy, there's life. Your relationships with other people are going to work better when you walk in love. Like, you're going to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit because your heart is not going to be hardened. Hebrews 3:13, which Paul also wrote that book. I mean, it doesn't say it, but most scholars agree with that, and stylistically it lines up with his other epistles and stuff. But when you're in agreement with Satan because you're willfully living in sin, you cannot resist the devil. So if you're saved and yet you think, well, it's okay to do this and do that, well, you know what? No wonder you're struggling with depression. You're giving him the right to bring depression and suicidal thoughts onto you because you're in agreement with him. You're giving, no wonder he's bringing sickness and disease. That's why in the Bible, I'm trying to remember what chapter it was in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus said, see, sickness is not always a result of your personal sin. Sometimes it's just Satan bringing it on you. Sometimes it's just a result of, you know, the fact that there's sin generally in the world. But sometimes sickness or disease or stuff in your life can be a direct result of your sin. Now, it's not God bringing judgment on you like we've just talked about, but it is a result of Satan imputing that sin to you. So that's why Jesus told the man, he's like, go and sin no more, for something worse will come upon you. So there, just because you have sickness doesn't mean that you've been in sin, all right? So, because it could just be, hey, we're in a fallen world, or maybe it was demonically induced because he's just trying to oppress you and bring something against you, right? But your sin can give an open door for Satan to bring sickness on you. So why would you want to do that? So maybe in that case, the man, Jesus knew via the Holy Spirit that he was living in sin. He said, listen, go and sin no more, or something worse will come upon you. In other words, God's not imputing this sickness and sin to you, but Satan, you're giving him an open door. So, hey, listen, don't do that. And resist the devil, and you have a right to walk in healing the rest of your life. But if you sin, you're giving Satan an open door to bring that on you. So he's like, hey, just don't go sin no more. Now, sometimes it was just, you know, demons or whatever, or sickness, because a lot of sickness was related to spiritual oppression. Acts 10:38, it says, Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For he went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. So he ties healing with doing good, and being sick and depressed and diseased and all these infections and these diseases with spiritual oppression. Now, not every sickness is due to spiritual oppression. Sometimes it's just a natural thing because of Adam's one sin. Sin entered into the world, and death through sin, like we saw a while ago, and it spread to all men there in Romans 5:12. So it's just from the fall, but you're redeemed from the curse. You can rebuke that sickness. You can rebuke that disease. You don't have to tolerate that sickness. You have to tolerate that disease. You can walk in healing. You have the right to walk in that healing, but you have to resist it. But if you're willfully living in sin, you can't resist somebody or something that you're in agreement with. Okay. So write this down. Our actions release in us either the power of Satan or the power of God. That's powerful. So your actions are either going to release in you the power of Satan or the power of God, right? So because faith has corresponding action. So if I'm walking out God's word and doing that, I'm releasing my faith, and the anointing flows through faith. So I'm releasing the power of God through that. Or I'm in agreement with the devil and I'm doing that, and I'm releasing his death, sickness, disease in my life through my own actions. In other words, He's using me against me. He's using you against you. Don't do that. That's dumb. All right, so remember, we're answering the question. So you're saying we can just keep on sinning since we're saved by grace and God loves us no matter what because all of our sins are paid for? Well, I think emphatically we just proved you, even though you're forgiven of all your sins, sin's dumb. You don't want to do that. Me as a head of my household, if I'm willfully living in sin and walking in hatred and doing these other things, I'm giving, because I'm the spiritual covering over my house, I am giving Satan access to come to my wife, or, you know, we found out that we're going to be having a baby, like to come on my kids or my grand. See what I'm saying? Because they're under my authority, and excuse me, and if I am, excuse me, if I am willfully putting myself in agreement with Satan, you know who I'm making susceptible to Satan? My family. You don't want to live in sin. That's dumb. All right, so here's the key. Although God is not imputing our sins unto us, we cannot afford the luxury of sin because it allows Satan to have access to us, okay? So here's the thing. So that leads to another question. So how do we close the door to our enemy, Satan, when we do sin? So when we sin to keep him from having an inroad of access. All right. So how do we close the door to our enemy, Satan, when we sin to keep him from having an inroad or access to bring us, to bring to us death, sickness, disease, and destruction? Well, here's the thing. When we do sin, we allow the devil in our lives. So then the way to stop that is to confess the sin. And then God is faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as 1 John 1:9 says. And so all that forgiveness is already present in our born again spirit, because that's where the life of God is. That's our born again spirit is already forgiven and it's sealed by Holy Spirit. So when we can stop and shut the door of Satan when we confess that sin. See, my spirit didn't change. When I sinned, my spirit didn't, it didn't stop having right standing with God, because it's sealed by the Holy Spirit. It was created perfect. It was created and made righteous with God. It had right standing right then. And then it was sealed. It was created. It had that right standing immediately. It had that status of right standing with God. And then it was sealed in that status of having right standing with God when you got saved. So when you sin, sin doesn't get in your born again spirit. So your status with God doesn't change, right? But that sin can get into your mind, into your body. So when I'm confessing, and we're going to spend all of next episode talking about, because there's a lot of questions this raises and stuff, and so we're going to talk about this. But when you're confessing Christ, or you're confessing the sin there, it's not to get right standing with God again, because your standing is preserved by the Holy Spirit. Sin didn't affect your born again spirit, because you cannot get born again again. Okay, and we're going to talk about that. Once saved, always saved. Born again, again. We're going to answer that. Okay. But so when you confess Christ, when you confess that sin, it shuts the door to the devil, and then it cleanses basically your body and your mind to shut the door from the devil to where now he doesn't have a stronghold to hold on to, okay? So, but that forgiveness that's already present in your born-again spirits, when you confess that sin, it is released in our flesh and in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. But my born-again spirit, that sin didn't enter into my spirit, so the status of my spirit never changed with God. So I never lost my right standing with God, and we're going to talk further about this. So, but what that does is that removes Satan's strongholds to bring sickness, death, and disease into our lives. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that brings up a lot of questions that we're going to talk about. So in next episode, in Revelation of Righteousness, Part 9, we're going to talk about those questions that you probably have in your thinking surrounding 1 John 1:9, and then also maybe in the episode after that, we're going to cover in this series questions about, well, Wes, is it once saved, always saved, like some denominations believe? Or is it like some denominations believe that, well, you know, once you get saved, if you sin, you're saved, lost, and saved, lost, and you lost your standing with God, and is it saved, lost, born again, and all that stuff? You know, can you lose your salvation? We're going to, in a way, we've already kind of answered some of these, but we're really going to dig down into those questions, because these are questions that need to be answered. And when I began to understand these questions, it really helped me to restore the joy of my salvation, that even though I may mess up, listen, my standing with God doesn't change. So it's not once saved, always saved, and it's not saved, lost, born again, again. It's neither one. And so we're going to talk about the answer in that next episode, or the episode after that, because in the next episode, we're going to talk about 1 John 1:9 and answer some questions surrounding that. So I really feel like that's going to be a blessing for you. So, hey, listen, well, that's it for today, guys. Hopefully that was a blessing for you. If you haven't done it yet and this has blessed you, hey, help us to reach more people so it can be a blessing to them and really help get the gospel out there and get the truth of the Word of God out there. And so go on whatever platform you're listening to, and, you know, give us that 5-star rating review so that it will help us to reach more people. And also don't forget that free resource, the Revelation of Righteousness, you know. And hey, listen, take this, go back, listen, pause, listen, read the Word, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation. Because here's the thing, remember, it will not change your life just because it's revelation. I mean, it's information. It has to become revelation. What does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit comes in, he actually quickens it to you, makes it alive, gives you revelation to where now you see, hey, whoa, wait, that's what God says. See, because information leaves room for, well, that's what Wes is saying. That's what Paul's saying. No, revelation is when you understand, wait, that's what God says. And then that's when faith comes, because faith begins where the will of God is known. Well, the will of God is described by the Word of God, All right. And so if you, that's important. So pray for revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul continually prayed that over and over. I prayed that prayer for you before I started this podcast. So pray and say, Father, give me a spirit of wisdom, revelation. Help me to understand these truths because I want to know you better. I want to understand your word because to understand your word is to know you and to help me understand my relationship with you and my stance with you and all these other things because your faith is going to go to a new level when you begin to understand these truths that we're talking about. So, hey guys, until next time, remember the gospel has the power to help you live a victorious life. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Power for Victorious Living. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and check out the website at powerforvictoriousliving.com. And remember, the gospel has the power to help you live a victorious life.